Welcome, everyone. Today, we're going to dig into something pretty fascinating, Brema. It's a practice that seems to mix some really old wisdom with how we think about well-being today, offers a bit of a fresh look at being present. So our plan here is to really unpack Brema using the sources we've got. We want to look at its core ideas, its practices, trace back where it came from, and figure out why it seems to be getting attention as, well, more than just body work. Think of this as your quick guide to getting up to speed on this unique way of thinking about harmony.
Yeah, and what really stands out from the material is just how holistic it aims to be. It's not just about feeling better physically. It's really trying to align the body, the emotions, and the mind. And this focus on being fully present right here, right now, that's central.
Okay, let's unpack this then. What is Brema exactly when we boil it down?
Right. So at its heart, Brema is described as an ancient healing art. Its roots are in Iran, apparently, but it became more widely known in Europe through America starting around the 1980s. It's definitely holistic. It involves body work, but also these specific movement exercises they call self-brema. And underpinning it all is this philosophical framework built on the 9 principles of harmony.
9 principles, yeah.
And the main goal really is to create this balance, body, mind, feelings, to boost life energy, they say, and really help you cultivate being present in the moment.
It sounds really broad. The sources mention you can see echoes of things like manual therapy, massage, even yoga and qigong, and meditation too. How does that all fit together in practice?
It is broad, yeah. Practically speaking, it's done on a padded surface. You stay clothed. The movements are gentle, rhythmic, things like stretching, leaning on someone, stroking, holding, sometimes even playful sequences. And it's always done using the whole body, and this is key, without effort. Or striving, you know.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is meant to be really benevolent, supportive. You can do it alone, the self-brema, or with a partner.
Okay.
And it can slot into therapy contexts, too.
Yeah.
Often as a way to find deep relaxation. But these gentle movements, they're not random at all. They come directly from that philosophy you mentioned.
Right. The philosophy that guides every single touch, every movement. This feels like where it gets really interesting, these core principles.
Absolutely. These 9 principles of harmony. They're presented as universal guides for living, basically.
Yeah.
And every Brema movement is meant to embody them.
So what are some examples?
Okay, well, one big one is movement from the navel center, or the hara, as it's often called in other traditions, too.
Right, the center point.
Exactly. The idea is the movement starts there, from your core, not from just muscling through it.
Yeah.
Not self-effort.
Which
connects directly to another principle, no self-effort or no force. Movements should arise naturally, almost like you being assisted by gravity. It's all about finding harmony, letting go of that forceful approach.
That's quite different from how we usually operate, isn't it? Always pushing, trying harder.
It really is. And that leads into another fascinating one. No intention and no judgment.
No intention. How does that work?
Well, it's about trying to release that constant need to, you know, evaluate everything, compare, plan the outcome. In Brema, the action just happens. Ideally, without all that mental commentary, it fosters a kind of authenticity, free from our usual inner critic.
Like just being with what is.
Exactly. Accepting the moment. And that links right into full presence or whole participation. Being completely there in each moment, each touch, each movement. The source even calls it the art of present being.
The art of present being. I like that.
And it suggests that this total unburdened presence is what actually transfers as a healing moment to the person receiving.
So the way you are during the movement is just as vital as the movement itself. Are there others that build on this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's flowing without hurry or interruption. Acting in tune with life's natural rhythm. Then mutual support. This idea that giving and receiving aren't separate. They happen at the same time. It really highlights our connection.
Okay.
The body is relaxed, seeing the body not as this separate thing to be fixed, but part of the whole, reducing that tension. No extras, which is about being authentic, without putting on airs or unnecessary effort.
Simple, but profound.
Yeah. And definiteness and gentleness. The idea that real firmness is gentle and real gentleness has a definiteness to it. It's not wishy-washy.
That's a powerful concept.
It is. And finally, unique moments, single activity. Recognizing every moment is fresh, new, not just a repeat of the past or a setup for the future.
Wow.
Taken together, all these principles are really designed to help you experience that unity, body, mind, feelings, all connected, strengthening your energy, cultivating presence.
It's clearly got this deep philosophical underpinning. But where did the practice itself come from? Let's track its journey.
Right. So the origins are traced to the Middle East, specifically a mountain village, apparently.
Yeah.
Developed over generations by people who were, you know, deeply connected to their bodies, to nature. It was more of a traditional organic thing passed down.
Okay, like folk wisdom.
Sort of, yeah. Mm. Then it got formalized, brought to a wider audience in 1980. That's when Dr. John Schreiber, who was a chiropractor, set up the Brema Center in Oakland, California.
Ah, California.
Yeah. And that became the main hub, the headquarters for teaching it worldwide. Still is. From there, it started spreading, reaching Europe around 1990.
So it has these traditional roots, but it was consciously developed into the form we see today.
Exactly. While it definitely builds on that heritage, the sources say Brema developed independently with this really specific focus on presence and harmonizing body, mind, and feelings, refining those older insights into its modern shape. And if we step back and look at the bigger picture, Brema is presented as, well, much more than just a therapy for fixing symptoms.
Right.
Our sources really position it as a practice for building mindfulness, improving how you perceive yourself, deepening self-knowledge. It clearly integrates mindful elements and stresses that connection through the body as the way into presence.
Mm.
It's also noted for helping with self-compassion and mindful touch, which, you know, could be really valuable for people dealing with physical stuff or emotional challenges.
So it really evolves beyond just body techniques into almost a life philosophy. That seems like a big part of it.
I think so, yeah.
Something you can apply everywhere. Relationships, self-care, work. This idea of just simply being to let go of old patterns and find more self-acceptance.
That captures it well. Philosophically, you could say it leans towards an esoteric worldview, looking at those underlying principles of harmony, things that aren't always obvious. But importantly, the sources stress it's non-dogmatic. Meaning it offers a framework, but it's not rigid. It doesn't seem to demand adherence to a strict belief system. It's more about providing tools and principles that people can interpret and apply individually.
Okay, that's an important distinction. Now, this does raise a question. How was Brema viewed by others as it moved into places like Europe? Was it always understood this way? Were there maybe misconceptions?
That's a really key point. And yes, there was some evolution in how it was perceived. For example, back in 2010, the Worldview Commissioner of the Evangelical Church in Württemberg, Germany, initially described it as an outsider body therapeutic method.
Outsider?
Yeah, and highlighted what they saw as esoteric elements. So there were some initial questions, maybe some skepticism about its nature.
Okay.
But, and this is crucial, that assessment was actually revised in 2019.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The updated view explicitly states that Brema is not considered dogmatic or religious. Instead, it's seen as an open system based on universal principles, adaptable to the individual. So a significant shift in understanding over those years.
That's really interesting. It shows how perceptions can change as something becomes better understood.
Definitely. Moving away from potentially labeling it towards recognizing its broader non-sectarian application.
What a journey we've taken then, looking at Brema from its ancient roots all the way to how it's practiced today. We've seen this unique mix of physical movement and these pretty deep philosophical ideas all circling around presence and harmony.
Absolutely. I think the core takeaway is that Brema is fundamentally aiming to cultivate that harmony, body, mind, feelings, and strengthen your life energy. And it does that through these very specific movements and principles that nudge you towards being fully present without judging, without forcing. It's really about experiencing yourself as a unified whole.
It really makes you think. Considering Brema's focus on no effort and no judgment in everything you do, what might actually change in your day, you know, just your regular day, if you tried approaching even one simple thing, making coffee, listening to someone with that complete presence, that sense of mutual support, and without a predetermined agenda or judgment? Just something to ponder. If you are curious and want to learn more about this approach, the source material mentions exploringbrema.com. Might be worth a look if this sparked your interest in living more harmoniously.